Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Ben Verlander. Now that MLB is back for the 2022 season, it's the perfect time to subscribe to my Fox Sports Baseball podcast, Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander. We'll be breaking down all the latest in baseball news, covering your favorite teams, sitting down for candid one-on-one interviews with your favorite players, and of course, giving you all the Shohei Ohtani updates. Click the link in the description to subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving got the job done in their play-in game last night with a 115-106 win over the Cavs. Kyrie was on fire in the beginning. The Nets now turn their attention to Jason Tatum on the Celtics for their first-round matchup. First things first, co-host Chris Broussard is now joining us. Chris, good morning. Who wins, Nets versus Celtics?
Guys, for all their inconsistencies and all their idiosyncrasies, I'm going with the Nets in six because I like them to win at home rather than on the road. But look, they got the best duo in the Eastern Conference, I believe, in KD and Kyrie. Two great one-on-one players. And you guys know in the playoffs, when the defense knows your plays, they may be calling out your plays for goodness sake. They know your tendencies. They scout you so well. It's important to have a guy that can just break down the defense even if they know what's coming and they can't stop him. And the Nets not only have a guy, they have two. And Boston, as good as they are defensively, they switch a lot. So that kind of leads to a lot of one-on-one opportunities. So I think KD and Kyrie will both be able to play great offensively. And then when you've got two guys that draw so much attention and are great passers. Because last night, Kyrie had 12 assists. KD had 11 assists. And he's been passing the ball really well this season. That makes everybody else play above their level. So Nick Claxton and the other guys, Bruce Brown, who's averaged 15 points over the last 2 months. They get better because of the attention that Kyrie and KD draw. And then Seth Curry. Like Joe Harris last year, guys, we saw he disappeared in the playoffs. Seth Curry won't do that. Seth is 47% for his career from three in the postseason. He did last night, but overall, I think Seth will be there because I think he's clutch. And so he's going to be there. And here's the thing with Boston, and they've been arguably the best team in the league over, you know, the calendar year of 2022. They're going to miss Robert Williams because he was a huge part of their defense. And they won 20 of their last 22 games that he played in. When he gets hurt, they go 4-3. So he's a huge absence for them. And then finally this, the Celtics struggled in close games. They were 13-22 in close games. The only team that was better than was Indiana. Brooklyn was 22-20 in close games. And I think these will be good close games for the most part. So that's why, guys, I'm going with Brooklyn.
I took the Celtics. I believe the Celtics have the better team. I believe the Nets have the better of the two players. But the overall team, I like the Celts. I like Adoka over Steve Nash in the coaching. The Celtics were 26-6 over the last 32 games, and they won 13 of those games, 26 wins, by 20-plus points. And you mentioned, but Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, let's just say for the sake of argument, they play KD and Kyrie within 5 or 10. I like Smart. I like Horford. I like those other guys more than I like the others from the Brooklyn Nets. And you mentioned defensively. Al Horford plays good defense. Tice plays good defense. We know Marcus Smart going to get on the floor and can play defense. But it's rubbed off on Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is a very good defender. Now, Tatum, JT, is not the defender that those guys is, but it's become contagious. Now you bring in a Grant Williams. Now you bring in Pritchard. You bring in some of those other guys that can also take and make shots, but they can defend. Brooklyn is horrible defensively, Chris. I don't care how you slice it up. As great as they are offensively, with those two dynamic duos, their defense stink. And it stunk for the entire other season. They gave up 65 points. Now, Cleveland are not world beaters. You know that. I know that. They had a 20-point lead, and Cleveland cut it down to 6 at one point. And it was a lot closer ball game than probably what it should have been. The Celtics are legit. They are for real. You're right. They're going to miss Robert Williams. I would say they'd probably win in 5 if they had Robert Williams. But since they don't, I'm going to take the Celtics in 6.
Horrible and stinks.
Defensively,
really?
Yes, wow. Yes, yes.
And I will have what Chris is having because yeah. I've been having it all year and I'm not backing off. And Shannon Sharp, once again, is a victim of conventional wisdom. And in honor of Kansas winning the national championship, it's rock, chalk, Jayhawk for you. So you rock the chalk. No, you go with the obvious. Oh, it's got to be the Celtics.
No, Skip, hold on. Chris, if I'm not mistaken, weren't the Nets the betting favorite to win the title this year?
Yeah, that was a long, long, bloody time ago.
No, that's not what right. you did with the Lakers, because every time we talked about the Lakers, you say they were the co-favorites to win the title. That was a long, long time
ago. I'm glad you brought up what's left of your Lakers.
See, there you go.
We miss you, LeGon. We're going to talk about you in just a minute.
There you go.
Here's the difference. Here's what this boils down to. The Nets have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and the Celtics don't. It's as simple as that. Game over. The Nets have two closers, and I still don't believe Boston has the closer.
Oh, JT.
I'm not sure about that.
JT can close that thing.
I do not see that on a consistent basis. And by the way, the Lakers have no closers.
Hold on.
Wait, the Nets have two closers, and the Lakers have none. Maybe that's why LeBron is tweeting about the playoffs instead of playing.
Now, somebody dropped 54 on Brooklyn's head. Do you remember that guy, Chris Broussard? That light-skinned guy from St. Louis,
that guy.
Been with the Chaminade, he dropped 54 on them. Now, is that a great defensive team if you let somebody drop 54 on your head?
Did that game count?
Yeah, it counted.
Yeah,
it got them 3-1.
Okay. What's that?
They beat them 3-1, beat them 3 times this season.
Oh, okay, yeah, 3-1 this season.
Yeah.
Was that a playoff game?
No,
that was a playoff game. I don't think so. It is time, and you saw last night, those two just flexed in the first half, and then they said, that's enough of that, and when it got a little close in the fourth quarter, the 7-foot monster, who is Kevin Durant, just said, just give me the ball and get out of the way, and I'll just take this. And he scores 9 clutch points at clutch moments, key moments, to say, no, you guys go away, go away, go away. I told you that Cleveland would cover because Darius Garland is legit because he played and learned basketball at Vanderbilt University, and he is a clutch client, and he was clutch in the fourth quarter. But you're not going to overcome those two when they're playing like that because there's never been a more dynamic duo of shot makers on one team than those two together. And in the end, that will be the difference. I differ with Chris on one point. I think it'll go 7 games, and I want to see KD and Kyrie take over at Boston down the stretch. Oh. That's what will happen.
So y'all both believe KD and Kyrie is going to play like they played last night. 7 games, 6-7 games, 42 plus minutes a night. That's what you're saying, Chris?
That is correct.
Okay.
Well, look, KD's missed, what, roughly 30 games this year almost.
Yeah.
Kyrie, we know, missed most of the season. So they should be able to handle the minutes. And here's the thing, defensively, because you, Shannon, you hit on what everybody's hitting on with the Nets. Horrible defensively. All right. But last year they were horrible defensively. And when they needed to turn it up in the playoffs, hard to believe, but it's true, they were 4th in the playoffs of the 16 teams in defensive rating. They were 1st in opponents' field goal percentage defense. And they ended the season 12-5. And Shannon, their defensive rating was 8th during that stretch. So I think, look, they're not going to become the Jordan Bulls defensively. But I do think they can turn it up a little bit when they need to on that end. And what they have to do is get a stop when necessary.
Hmm.
And I think more often than not, they'll be able to do that because obviously the offense is going to be what carries them. And Shannon, since the All-Star break,
mm-hmm.
they went to Miami and destroyed the Heat.
They destroyed them.
They went to Philadelphia and destroyed the Sixers.
Yep.
And they went to Milwaukee without KD and beat a healthy Bucks team that had Giannis, Drew, and Middleton.
And what happened?
And KD or Kyrie put 38 on him.
Oh, wait, what happened?
Kyrie put 38 on him by himself.
Oh, yeah. And what happened when old Giannis came back? And they had Kyrie, and they had KD. You ain't going to talk about that game?
Mm.
We just had that game like
they
a week ago.
Edged them.
Yeah, they edged them.
They edged
them in Milwaukee.
I would like to point out to one Kevin Durant who does watch the show that this man, Shannon Sharp, just called you horrible on defense. He said you stink on defense, Evan. And by the way, last night, Kevin Durant, I don't know how he did this. He blocked three shots and Nikki Claxton blocked five shots. Yeah. They had eight blocks between the two of them. That's horrible defense.
Against Cleveland.
Cleveland's in the play-in, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what got into Kevin Love. Thinking he was about to go dunk on somebody.
Yeah. He's trying to get a LeBron. I'm finna posterize somebody like I got posterized on. Y'all keep talking about offensively. You do realize that Boston had a higher offensive rating than Brooklyn.
Okay, good. Now the games start for real.
Yeah, they
perhaps legit. It's all about
JT,
getting hot at the right time. Great stuff, guys. We got to leave this one here, though, because, Chris, we need you to stick around. We have got to talk about LeBron's reaction to the end of that Timberwolves game as well last night. That's still to come on Undisputed.
No mercy.
What's up, kinfolk? It's Fox Sports analyst RJ Young. The 2022 USFL season is underway, and I couldn't be more excited to be covering football in spring. USFL games will be taking place every weekend in Birmingham, Alabama until the playoffs start on June 25th with matchups airing on Fox, FS1, USA, and NBC. Each week, I'll react to games and break down all the excitement coming out of the USFL. I'll also continue my college football coverage with interviews of players preparing for the NFL draft, discussions of the latest college football news, and more. Make sure to watch the Birmingham Stallions kick off the inaugural USFL season against the New Jersey Generals April 16th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox and NBC. For all things college football and USFL, be sure to subscribe to the number one ranked show with RJ Young on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
The Timberwolves won their first play-in game against the Clippers, and Patrick Beverley, no, he was not shy after clinching a first-round berth. The former Clippers guard jumped up on the scorer's table. Take a look. Alongside Anthony Edwards celebrating. Oh, my goodness. Yes, Twitter definitely took notice. Kyle Kuzma tweeted, Minnesota just won the chip, followed by three laughing, crying emojis. At the same time, LeBron tweeted nothing but 10 of his own laughing emojis. Chris Broussard is still with us this morning. Chris, I cannot wait for you to dive in on this. What is LeBron saying here?
Well, look, there's only two options. One, was he laughing at the Clippers losing? Or was he laughing at the celebration like many people were? And I think he was clearly laughing at the celebration. Because one, there had already been a lot of tweets, right, about this. And so I think LeBron was reacting to what everybody was saying. And I think he's much too self-aware to actually laugh at the Clippers losing, because at least the Clippers are alive, right? So I don't think he'd do that at all. But with Patrick Beverley, look, it was clearly over the top. We get it. And if the Nets had done that, if that was Kyrie standing on the table in Brooklyn last night, or even if the Clippers won, and that was Reggie Jackson or Paul George or whatever, then I'd be like, that's ridiculous. What in the world are they doing? But with the Timberwolves, look, it's the first time in the playoffs in like 4 years, second time in the playoffs in 18 years. They won 23 games last year, 19 the year before. I'm fine with it. Look, they think they can do something with Memphis. They're 2-2 against Memphis this year. They beat Memphis by 43. And Memphis had everybody. Ja, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. So I think it'll be a better series than most people think. But that's what I think they were celebrating, and I think LeBron was just having a laugh at, because it was hilarious. And TNT did a great job with it, too. But, yeah, that's what I think he was doing.
Yeah, well, you're right there with me, because it's Patrick Beverly. Like, what type of celebration did you think you was going to get? You thought you was going to have somebody just mosey up to the sideline reporter? Yeah, it was a big win for us. We knew we stuck together. That's not Pat Bev, Skip. You know every time Pat Bev does something, this is the action that you're going to get. No, let me take that back. This is the reaction that you're going to get. And then Skip, they panned up on him, and he was at the free throw line. And he's looking at one of the Clippers players. He's like, y'all mad? Y'all huffing and puffing over there? Y'all mad? I got y'all not. You know how Pat Bev is. Pat Bev is the one guy, is the little brother. You can't let him beat you at anything, because he's never going to let you forget it. My brother would tell you, I'm that little brother. That's Pat Bev. Pat Bev get an upper hand, it's over.
Except now he's the big brother.
Yes. Yeah. So he got the upper hand. Like I said, was it over the top? Yes. That's, you think it, Skip, you won a playoff series. Now, if they had beat Memphis and he wanted to have this reaction, I was like, okay, look at the T-Wood. But Skip, the man took his jersey off and threw it up in the crowd like Brandon Chastain. She took her jersey off when she won the World Cup in 99. I'm like, whoa, bro. That was a bit much. That's what LeBron said. LeBron is saying, man, that Pat Bev, be all one, man.
So you guys are actually laughing with LeBron at the T-Wolves. Right?
Yeah, the celebration.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, the
yes.
celebration. Yeah, yeah.
Really? Celebration, yeah. Yes.
I thought what LeBron tweeted was pathetically sad, because he's sitting at home watching a genuine celebration, a legit celebration, right, that was completely merited at a place where they haven't won in forever. A team that went 23-49 a year ago,
yeah,
just went 46-36,
right,
and won the play-in game, right, to clinch the seventh seed, yeah, right?
No, hold on. Chris, I think me and you said we understood the celebration because of what you just said. They're not used to doing this.
Okay, well, how can you laugh at it?
Because yeah, it's funny.
Patrick Beverly,
it was
announced there, and at his opening press conference, he tells the Minnesota media, we're going to make the playoffs. And everybody laughed until they cried.
Let me
ask
you a question.
And they just did it.
If they don't make, okay, Pat Bev says exactly what he says. They don't make the playoffs. Is anybody going to mention that at the exit interview that, Pat, you said we was going to make the playoffs? Of course not.
Okay,
what were they supposed to say? They did.
Okay, well, unfortunately, LeBron is tweeting from a new glass house. He's throwing stones from a new glass house that he lives in. He missed the play-in tournament, he's laughing at them for making the playoffs?
But he's been to 10 finals. He's won four. He's won four final MVPs.
Shannon Sharp always reminds me, update your resume.
That's what they did. Skip, Chris said they won, what, 26 games last year? They won 19
the year. 23 last year.
Okay, 23, then 19. They updated their resume. But Skip, even if you're getting to the play, you win the play-in, now you're in the playoffs. I thought the celebration was a little excessive, but
he stuck it to his ex-team that cut him.
But right? Given who it was, I'm okay with it, given who it was, knowing this is who he is.
Okay, well, if you're okay with that, you can't be okay with LeBron's tweet.
And Skip, LeBron, what? LeBron.
Two things cannot be true.
Yes, they can.
No, they cannot.
It was still funny.
Yes.
It was still funny.
Yes, he's laughing.
I mean, and even Carl Anthony Towns with his girlfriend, like they looked like they had won the championship.
Yes.
They effectively did.
The only thing missing was the confetti.
They deserved to celebrate.
Was the confetti coming from the room.
Skip,
what are you talking about?
We're not. I'll give you an example. If I win an Emmy, I'm going to have the reaction that Pat Bev had. Now, Charles Barkley probably don't even give it a passing thought, because he's won so many of them. But I'm just telling you, if I'm fortunate enough to win an Emmy, this is the kind of reaction I'm going to have. I will come in here. I'm going to stand on this table. I'm going to dance around. I might take my suit jacket off, unbutton my tie, and I'm going to celebrate. So I'm just telling you.
Okay. So?
Because I ain't won one. I don't know how to act.
Okay. If I win an Emmy, I'm going to call Ernestine and say, it's been great knowing you because the world is about to end,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Exactly. Right. Then you're going to come in here like, oh, yeah, this is what I... See, when you're going to come in here and do, you put on a thing, yeah, this is what I do. You know, hey, this is what I expected to do, Chef. You know, I expect it.
Okay. Me. Don't you think it's pathetic that LeBron is home tweeting about a celebration that he's not even engaged in because he's not even in the playoffs?
Skip, but he's a fan of the game. He's laughing at the excess of the celebration. Huh. So he's not supposed to have, we've seen all these athletes, when a guy gets it going, everybody tweets. Now LeBron's not allowed to tweet because he's not right in the playoffs.
Huh. Is it possible that he's tweeting out of resentment for a Patrick Beverley who has, so to speak, gotten his goat before? Is it possible that's what was the genesis of this tweet?
No, Skip.
Because do you remember what happened on Christmas Day 3 years ago? Do you remember the last second shot that LeBron attempted to take? If we could see that, please, quickly. Last second shot against the Clippers, Patrick Beverley, and it was the greatest block in the history of Christmas Day games because he not only gets the ball on the way up, he knocks it off LeBron's noggin out of bounds to end the game.
Chris.
Wow.
Hold on. Was this the year that the Lakers went on to win the championship?
Yeah.
That could have been that year.
That was the year before.
Oh, okay. I was just checking.
You mean the bubble last year?
Don't do that, Skip. Don't do that.
You know what? LeBron just can't get over Patrick Beverley and what he's done to LeBron.
What has he done, Skip?
Well, he did that on national TV.
Skip.
The world was watching.
Anybody
Skip. That's as embarrassing a block anybody's ever suffered.
I don't think LeBron is worried about Patrick Beverley.
I don't think so either.
I mean, you can't even put their resumes on the same scale, you know? And I just think, because I don't know if you're saying, look, Patrick Beverley's in the playoffs and LeBron's team had a horrible season. Look, I'm of the belief LeBron's playing with house money at this point. I know he wants to win another championship, and he talked about that. If he plays another 3 years and doesn't make the playoffs again, to me, it doesn't diminish him at all. I mean, it didn't diminish Jordan when he didn't make him in Washington.
We might have won a title.
I don't think this would diminish LeBron.
But won a title.
Well, I assume LeBron was home last night consuming empty calories because all those points he scored down the stretch, they were all empty calories.
Biggest
bunch of empty calories I've ever seen.
But
they contributed to nothing.
Exactly. But here's the thing. What would they have been? I mean, who goes score the points if LeBron does?
Distribute. Orchestrate.
Who going to make
Malik Monk.
Who's going to make the shots?
Malik Monk. Austin Reeves.
So now we're putting our hopes on an undrafted
Avery
friend.
Bradley. Huh? Carmelo Anthony. Anthony Davis.
Really scared?
Yeah, really.
Really.
Well, they were the preseason favorite.
What they got to do with anything?
Well, I don't know. LeBron led the league in shots attempted because he's just trying to pass Kareem.
If you want to play Kareem, why not limp and get like 20 points a game and get even closer to Kareem? Right, Chris? If that's what you're trying to do, that's what
if you're going to limp, you'd have to fake the limp, right?
Well, you saw the ankle roll.
Huh?
You saw the ankle.
Yeah, and I saw him score 21 on that same ankle in the third quarter against New Orleans and then 2 in the fourth quarter.
I saw Tom Brady allegedly play the whole season on a torn MCA.
He did, and he had it actually.
Allegedly.
He had it fixed, surgically repaired right after the season.
Guess what? The same doctor that probably fixed Tom Brady's knee told LeBron he not going to need surgery. You're probably the same doctor.
Yeah. Great stuff, guys. I tell you what, this T-Wolves team has been spicy all season long celebrating wins. Remember when they beat the Lakers towards the end of the regular season? They didn't hold back then either. All right, thanks so much for joining us, Chris.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.